5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's all just get along. We're on this earth for such a short time.
We gotta pray.
Let's try to get rid of the hatred and the violence.
We gotta pray.
Please.
We gotta pray. Pray for the world tonight. We gotta say. Somebody save somebody tonight.
Pray for the families who are grasping for answers with broken hearts.
Fire in the air, what the hell going on? Sirens everywhere, singing that street song. Violence everywhere, barely holding on. What the hell going on? Do you know who you are? Do you know who
come
we
together
are?
Pray for and lift up the families of the victims.
We're extraordinary people, living an ordinary life. One extraordinary question. Gonna run no fights, so we gotta pray.
We stand with the people of Orlando.
Pray for the love
who have endured a terrible attack on their city.
Another day, pray for another try.
And please, could we do something with the assault weapons?
Smoke is in the sky. What the hell going on? Bullets gonna fly. Hot right from the gun. Trying not to cry. Barely holding on.
Once again, our country has suffered another horrible mass shooting over the weekend. And here is what we know as of Monday, June 7th. A 29-year-old walked into a gay club in Orlando, called Pulse around 2 o'clock in the morning Sunday, and started opening fire with an assault weapon, and a semi-automatic Glock. I won't mention his name. He murdered 50 people and injured at least 53 more. And then there was a 3.5-hour standoff before police busted in around 5 a.m. and killed him. It was the deadliest mass shooting in American history and the worst terrorist attack since 9/11. The shooter was a U.S. citizen who was born in New York, but lived here with all his life with his family. His parents are from Afghanistan, but he called 911 during the attack to pledge his allegiance to ISIS, and he also mentioned the Boston bombers. And I think one of the most amazing things to come out of this story so far is that he's actually beyond above and beyond the authorities looking at him. I mean, he has been on the FBI's watch list for several years, but the FBI cleared him in 2014 and decided he wasn't a threat. Of course, ISIS took credit immediately for the attack yesterday, but it's not clear if they ordered it or they're just claiming it since it was one of their followers. Even though he was on the FBI's watch list, the shooter was able to legally buy the assault rifle he used in the attack 12 days ago, he bought the gun. The guns, probably because he'd been working as a security guard a couple of hours south of Florida in Fort Pierce, Florida. I mean, this is the part that blows my mind, Valerie, that, you know, here he was on the watch list, and yet he was able to buy these guns.
Yeah, investigated three times.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you are on the watch list, you couldn't get it on, I bet you couldn't get on an airplane.
Right.
Yeah, so how do you buy assault weapons?
I don't know. This is what's got me scratching my head.
Yeah, and I think the whole country. His father told reporters that his son may have targeted the gay nightclub because he got angry earlier this year when he saw two men kissing in Miami. Well, please get over yourself. You're in the United States. And by the way, I'm not sure I buy that because he was born in the United States, so he knows what time it is in the United States.
Yes.
Yeah. He also doesn't think his son was motivated by radical Islamic beliefs. He said, quote, "This has nothing to do with religion. We're in shock, just like the rest of the country." The shooter married a woman from Uzbekistan in 2009, and she told reporters he had a history and mental illness and used steroids, and he used to beat her. So she left him after 4 months. And she says his religion didn't play a role in the attack either. So, you know, it sounds like lone wolf stuff.
It sure does.
Yeah.
People are really trying to connect dots, and I understand why, but I'm a little bit... It's a scary time to be jumping to conclusions.
Right. And just like a lot of attacks that have been going on here lately in the country, the first to respond was a cop who was an extra duty AT at the club, and he and two cops nearby exchanged gunfire with the shooter. The guy went back inside, and the standoff started when the police finally broke through and busted in. More than 30 people escaped. 39 people were also found dead at the club. Another 11 were taken to the hospitals and pronounced dead there. And it also comes, and this happened, and I thought Saturday's story was horrific with Christina Grimmie from The Voice. Just some weirdo, you know, stalker fan coming down to see her and on a mission to kill her. I mean, we'll get to more of that. But there's a woman named Christian, I think I'm going to call it Leonin, who did two emotional interviews on Sunday while she was waiting for news from her son, about her son, Christopher. As of Monday morning, he still hadn't been accounted for, but his boyfriend, Juan Guerrero, was confirmed dead, and she and Christine told ABC News that they believed it was likely that Christopher was dead as well.
My son hasn't been heard from, so I don't know if he was left in the club, if he got shot, or if he's being worked on here. I don't know. It's terrible. He's my only child.
When he was in high school, he started the Gay Straight Alliance. I've been so proud of him for that thing. Please, let's all just get along. We're on this earth for such a short time. Let's try to get rid of the hatred and the violence, please.
Also, a guy named Eddie Justice was at the club, trapped in the bathroom with the shooter. His last text to his mother said he was about to die, and the shooter was in the bathroom with him.
He was shot?
We don't know. He's in the women's bathroom with the hostage. He's hostage from the shooter.
How did you find out?
He was texting me and called me.
What did he tell you exactly?
That the shooter has them in the women's bathroom hostage, and he's going to die. We was talking, and I made him get off the phone, because I had dispatcher on one phone and him on another one. And He said he didn't want to look at the man because we might look and get shot.
Yeah.
So I told him to hang up and text. So we was asking him questions. You know, is everybody all right? He said, no, people are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he has us and he's going to kill us. And that was it.
Here's some of those texts.
He texted me at 2:06 and said, Mommy, I love you. In the club, they're shooting. That was at 2:06. Trapped in the bathroom, downtown. Please call police. I'm going to die. Call them, Mama, now. I'm in the bathroom. He's coming. I'm going to die. He kept texting, so I woke up and looked at it. Then I called him back, and then he didn't answer, so then he called me back and said they were shooting in the club, and he was texting me at the same time. So I got the text after I talked to him. He said, call the police. So I called dispatcher and reported that it was a shooting at a club. I asked him, was he hurt? And he said, yes. I said, are some of the people hurt? He said, yes. And I said, what bathroom are you in? He said, the women bathroom. And then he said, hurry. He's in the bathroom with us. He's a terror.
At one point, the shooter came out and got into a shootout with the police officers before he went back into the club, holding people hostage for 3 hours.
Look at that, just shooting back and forth. That is crazy. Look at this.
Let's go.
Oh my God, they're all shooting back and forth.
As I mentioned earlier, and her name is Amar Satin. She is the ex-wife of this guy. And as I talked about, says that he was unstable and he was abusive. That's why he left her.
In the beginning, he was a normal being.
That's why she left him.
That cared about family, loved to joke, loved to have fun. But then a few months after we were married, I saw his instability and I saw that he was bipolar and he would get mad out of nowhere. That's when I started worrying about my safety, and then after a few months he started abusing me physically very often, and not allowing me to speak to my family, keeping me hostage from them. Mentally, he was mentally unstable and mentally ill. He had a history with steroids. I don't know if that caused it. I'm sure had something to do with it.
So here we go. Mentally ill and abusive. Was checked out by on the watch list, FBI watch list. Checked him out 3 times, and yet able to buy guns. Again,
yeah.
Like I said, Valerie, he wouldn't be able to get on an airplane.
Yeah,
but he could buy guns.
A gun. Yeah.
Really is sickening. FBI Special Agent Ronald Hopper talked about the Orlando nightclub shooter.
The individual believed to be responsible for the terror attack at the Orlando Club Pulse early Sunday morning has been identified as Omar Mir Sadiq Martin, age 29, an American citizen born in New York. He died of an exchange of gunfire with police officers early this morning. The FBI first became aware of Martin in 2013 when he made inflammatory comments to coworkers, alleging possible terrorist ties. The FBI thoroughly investigated the matter, including interviews of witnesses, physical surveillance, and records checks. In the course of the investigation, Mateen was interviewed twice. Ultimately, we were unable to verify the substance of his comments, and the investigation was closed. In 2014, Mateen again came to the attention of the FBI because of possible ties to Monar Abu Salah, an American suicide bomber. The FBI conducted an investigation, including an interview with Mateen. We determined that contact was minimal and did not constitute a substantive relationship or a threat at that time. It has been reported that Mateen made calls to 911 this morning in which he stated his allegiance to the leader of the Islamic State.
Well, there were certainly enough witnesses, that's for damn sure. Here's a witness who was dancing in the club, and he talks about the fact that after the attack began, people didn't really react. I mean, they just thought that the pops were part of the music.
DJ was playing a typical set that incorporated what we thought was gunshots as part of the music. 4 shots, bop, 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 bop. But for some reason, it was different. No one put two and two together until the 5th and 6th, between 10 and 20. That's when everything really started getting real. And then we all, at that point, did a domino effect all to the floor. Everybody, at least at that part of the club. I can't speak for the main floor or anything else, but at least from what I saw in our section of the bar, it was just a quick drop, hit the floor, hit the ground.
Once again, this back to this gentleman, he talks about how he got out of the club.
By the time it got to 20 to 30 rounds, we were already trying to exit a small exit way, side stage that was for an employee access only. It was very, very narrow once we got to this little alleyway. There was about 20 to 30 people trying to push themselves through a very small cabinet-looking door. Then there was a huge gaping hole in the fence that literally looks like people just punched it and kicked it down in order to get out because they realized that that wasn't working. All in all, probably like a minute and a half, 2 minutes just to exit the building. But we were still on premises dealing with casualties that we decided to stay by and help out.
He proceeds to talk about the fact that he didn't see the shooter and certainly didn't want to remember the scene.
We had first heard the gunshots, and then when we realized that it was actual real life, we hit the ground, and then we started to realize that it's getting closer and louder and louder. There was about a 10-second break where we didn't hear any more gun bullets going off, and that's when we made a jet for the door. I didn't even want to look back. I didn't. Why? To look at them, that would be the last thing I see in my face and the last memory I have. That's not something I want to remember. We just wanted to make sure. We heard that it was coming closer. We ran out, we jetted, and tried just saving ourselves and saving as many people as we could just to get out of there.
And with so many people killed and murdered, as this gentleman talks about, how could you not know some of those victims?
Some people trickled into the police station to make their report. Others we did hear, mutual friends, did not make it. One succumbed to two chest back wounds. The other was shot and was dragged out. One of our longtime bartender friends was actually in a small little fitting room with about 10 other people hiding in there, just waiting for a miracle, waiting for someone to come in and just rescue them.
He continues to talk about helping two people who were shot.
We had jetted out. I went through the hole. I lost my friend at that point in time. And I saw this kid collapse in front of me. He collapsed pretty much right next to the building. And I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Get up. Let's get up." I grabbed him, not realizing that his forearm was split in two. Then I realized he had a gash on his side as well. I quickly took off my main shirt and did a tourniquet on him. And then before I knew it, this guy was pacing, looking for a family member back and forth, and he had a bullet sticking out. And the bullet, I kid you not, was this big, half in his leg, half sticking out. And then I took off my other shirt and I did a tourniquet really quick on him as well. So I had them both by my side until the paramedics came. And once they took them out, about 10, 15 minutes later, then we were told to quickly evacuate and move further up down the street as far as we could.
You know, when situations like this happen, I think that we all grieve in our own little way. And I was telling Valerie and a bunch of people here, when the story broke, I saw it and I watched it. I had to turn it off. I abhor violence. Anybody that knows me knows that I will not even watch violence on television. I won't go to the movies. I won't see a movie that's violent. But I have to tell you, it really struck home when I knew that President Obama was going to make a statement. Because remember, and this sticks in my craw, Valerie, you know, the last time he came out, I think it was San Bernardino, he says, "I've had to come out here 14 times and talk about this."
During his presidency.
Right, yeah. And I thought, he has to come out here now for a 15th time and talk about this. And I just, even though it was a brief statement, I just found it so emotionally moving.
The shooter targeted a nightclub where people came together to be with friends, to dance and to sing and to live. The place where they were attacked is more than a nightclub. It is a place of solidarity and empowerment where people have come together to raise awareness, to speak their minds, and to advocate for their civil rights. So this is a sobering reminder that attacks on any American, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, or sexual orientation, is an attack on all of us and on the fundamental values of equality and dignity that define us as a country. And no act of hate or terror will ever change who we are or the values that make us Americans.
Equality and dignity. How can that not get you? It just does. So a few things that ran through my head. God, for the peace-loving Islamic people of America, man, oh, man.
This is going to be such a backlash. It's going to, I'm afraid that there's going to be a real division.
Yeah. I actually tweeted Donald Trump yesterday at real Donald Trump because I knew he'd have something to say. And I didn't check to see what he said. I don't know if he's been saying anything positive or not. I heard that he asked for the president to resign, which is ridiculous. The president didn't have anything to do with this. And I tweeted him and I said, remember that we are all Americans. Just get that straight, ... Pun intended.
Yeah.
Just get that. And I sent the pride flag along with
good.
It. Yeah. Just get that straight.
Yeah. He's already advocating.
Because unfortunately, and this is the really ugly part, and by the way, I don't think that Mr. Trump is homophobic. I just don't think he is.
I don't think so.
But there are people way over to the right who are saying,
he is divisive, though.
Yeah, but you comprende what I'm saying. There are people on the right who are saying,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're gonna hear a lot more ugliness before this is all done.
Right.
Yeah.
So the politicos may be going at it now, but I just feel like that freight train's coming.
Yeah, I unfortunately agree. It will be. I hope it's not going to be as predictable a week as I think it will be, but we'll see.
The other thing that happened, and just a bad start to the weekend, Christina Grimmie from The Voice was shot and killed. And this itself is, once again, I wake up Saturday morning, I'm thinking, oh my God, you've got to be kidding. Only to be eclipsed by Sunday. A fan, after her concert on Friday in Orlando, she was signing autographs. And she's just this beautiful, young, talented girl who came up and this guy shot her before killing himself. Here's a clip from Christina's performance that night. It happened, by the way, it happened only a few miles away from the Pulse nightclub shootings. I'm not going to mention the killer's name.
How bizarre.
Yeah. And after he shot Christina, her brother Marcus tackled him to the ground, and that's when he shot himself. It's not like listening to a record when you're listening to a party hall, but Selena Gomez got emotional during a tribute to Christina.
Actually, when she was 14, we met her. My parents and I signed her. And one thing about Christina and her family is that she holds her faith so closely to her. And I think it's not about a religion, and it's not about anything or good deeds, it's just that she had faith. And I don't really understand how this really happened, but I would like to dedicate this next song to her.
Nobody's gonna love me like you. Nobody.
Carson Daly on Saturday morning on the Today Show talked about Christina Grimmie.
I just think we're all still in shock. We're just so saddened by the news of Christina, who is such an incredible talent, an incredible person. It still seems so fresh. I kind of woke up in the middle of the night here on the East Coast and heard the story that she had been shot. And that, of course, the bad news of her passing. I mean, it's just so sad, so young. I mean, this was a girl, and people say the phrase a lot, oh, you know, so-and-so was a nice person, such a sweet person, but Christina really was She was special. I mean, she really was special. She would walk in a room and she had an infectious laugh. She was determined. She was confident. But she was so incredibly sweet. You would never forget meeting her. I'm shocked she didn't actually win season six. Her star was shining so bright, which certainly makes this tragedy that much harder. And, you know, as a show, we're thinking about her mom and her dad and her brother, who I know was so heroic.
And then there were the 2016 Tony Awards last night, and the cast of Hamilton did an ode to James Corden to the music of Alexander Hamilton, opening the entire sequence and the musical and the number and the show last night.
How does an upstart Briton, best known for sitting and jesting from a desk in the middle of a forgotten slot on late night, far from Manhattan, chatting with Hollywood phonies, end up being the guy who hosted Tony's?
CBS said this collision of theater and television needs a risk taker. It needs a rule breaker. It needs a troublemaker, a mover and a shaker. It needs that chubby dude from Into the Woods who played the baker.
Considering his pedigree, this choice is not a mystery. The one man with two governors was discovered in the history, boys. With his talk show network, Honcho saw how this could be a classic exercise in realizing corporate synergy.
Of course, the host of Broadway's most preeminent affair is in the spotlight. Those golden night is not to be embarrassing. The Dodgers skewers of review was drawing a comparison to Tony's passive telecast. They've seen no Patrick Harris.
Well, he knows that you're excited and he feels the very same, cause he knows this night can bring you recognition and acclaim. Cause the theater's what he loves, it's the world from whence he came. Yes, the theater's where he made his name, and his name is
James Corden.
Hamilton set the record for the most Tony nominations with 16, but it only won 11 last night, meaning that it just missed tying the record for the most Tony wins. The producers won 12 trophies back in 2001. And by the way, what a tough gig for James Corden last night to have to go on stage and do that show after what happened in Orlando. And of course, he did have to talk about it, and he did.
All around the world, people are trying to come to terms with the horrific events that took place in Orlando this morning on behalf of the whole theater community and every person in this room. Our hearts go out to all of those affected by this atrocity. All we can say is you are not on your own right now. Your tragedy is our tragedy. Theater is a place where every race, creed, sexuality, and gender is equal, is embraced, and is loved. Hate will never win. Together, we have to make sure of that. Tonight's show stands as a symbol and a celebration of that principle. This is the Tony Awards.
Good for him. Fantastic job. Well, the weekend was off to a good start until we got well into it. There were the Warriors.
Curry will finish with 38 points. Kyrie Irving will dribble it out. And the Golden State Warriors, with a huge win on the road, take a commanding 3-1 lead in these NBA Finals. Warriors with a chance to win their second straight championship on their home floor as they win it 108-97.
But you won't see Draymond Green tonight. That's why we're preempted and we're podcasting. Anytime we're not on the air, we're always podcasting. Yes, at KGORadio.com. Draymond Green got suspended because he kept hitting guys in the junk. Specifically, LeBron James. Yes, the NBA gave him a flagrant foul for it. And since it's his fourth of the playoffs, he got an automatic one-game suspension.
Curry had a notion there to Barnes. Green and James jawing at each other while play continues. Iguodala the pull-off. That won't go. And a double foul is going to be called. Channing Frye getting in between. LeBron James incensed. Green starting to walk away. James has more words. Draymond Green is one flagrant foul and two technicals away from being suspended.
Well, and he won't be playing tonight.
Boy. I know. I imagine he's hearing it from the fellow teammates in the locker room.
If you're going to kick anybody in the nuts, let it be LeBron James.
I know, but if that's what you're known for rather than the rest of your game.
He's got game but LeBron James in the groin.
I just imagine everybody's like approaching him and backing away with their hands over their groin, like, "Hey, how's it going? I'll be right over here."
Well, let's wrap this up on a good night, on a good way. So, go Warriors, bring it home, and let me see. We will be watching closely as we move to Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. The Golden State Warriors leading 3-1 going into tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Have a great night, a great day, and join us tomorrow night on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.